Hey guys, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Asherslager.
Hello.
Daryl Loomis.
Hi.
And Mac is on a week hiatus, I believe, either watching 21 Jump Street or buying comic books. So one or the other. So we will find that out next week. But he's taking a breather, so it's just the three of us. And we're going to get right into it because I need to ditch these guys to go play some video games, which I will get into later. But Eric, why don't you kick us off? What do you got to report?
All right, well, this week it's kind of a theater visit mixed with a little old news with Eric Asperschlager.
Excellent.
But a local theater in Watkins Glen, New York. I'll give him a little shout out because they're doing this film series, basically six movies total throughout October and November, repertory stuff. And I won tickets to all six movies.
All right.
Facebook contest that no one else entered, so it was pretty easy. But kind of sad. So last night was the first movie, and they showed Jaws, which I've seen a billion times, but never on the big screen.
Nice. Nor I.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of funny as a side note, just to realize that I guess we grew up at exactly the time where. Although I have seen a ton of movies a ton of times, I've seen very few of them in the theater.
Sure.
Like, I didn't see Ghostbusters when it was in the theater originally. I didn't see, I saw, the first Star Wars and the Return of the Jedi in the theater because they happened to, they're the first one, but they happened to be showing it again for some reason because they did that in the 80s. And then Return of the Jedi would come out. But, I've never seen Empire.
I mean, I saw Jedi.
Theater, like, all that kind of stuff.
I saw Jedi in the theater, but I was so young, I don't.
Right.
It's not like I saw it in the theater,
Sure.
I've got great memories of it, and I could say that, so I think I'm awesome, but I really didn't experience it.
Mostly, I saw it there too, and mostly what I remember is the sign outside that said it was playing. That's my strongest memory from that theater showing.
Yeah, I remember asking my dad if we could go see it. That's basically it. I assume that we did, but...
that's true.
So there's a ton of movies that I was, and, obviously... older stuff too. So Jaws I'd never seen on the big screen, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, Jaws is it's a perfect movie essentially. I mean, there's nothing about it I don't like, and I could watch it over and over again. And it's a lot of fun to watch it on the big screen, and you kind of get a sense of just how big that darn shark is.
Sure. 60-foot shark.
It is. That's how it looks.
How many people were in the theater with you?
Oh, there was like eight of us. Gosh. It was sad. It was really sad. But hopefully, next week's 2001 A Space Odyssey. So that's going to draw them in.
What else you got coming up on the docket for that?
So that's that. And then a few weeks, they're showing The Exorcist.
Oh, cool.
Which I have seen in the theater, although it was like the version you've never seen when it came out.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Spider Walk,
which is awesome.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see which version they show. And then in November it's Casablanca, Wizard of Oz, and Vertigo. So it's all top level stuff, but they're all great movies. So.
You know, it's like the British literature review course I took in grad school. It's like stuff I should have. Read, and just kind of covering my bases. So it sounds like it's and you're getting to do that in a pretty cool venue. So that's great.
So, it was fun to see Jaws. I will say something very quick. Like watching it, Jaws. I don't know whether it gets credit or blame for being like one of the first blockbuster movies, but it bears so little resemblance to any summer blockbuster now. It's almost unfair to saddle it with that. It was super popular, but I mean, it's a movie that's all about character and just has. All these little moments that you just never see in movies. Like now there's shifting tones where it'll be like an action movie and they'll throw in like a comic relief character. But Jaws has all these like just tiny little asides, just weird. Like, there's a thing with like the kids in the karate class have been chopping picket fences and Chief Brody's going down to, deal with a shark thing. And there's an old guy complaining about the kids or there's the whole, the Bad Hat Harry, all those kind of moments. Are so cool, and that's that kind of like just little touches that I think make it special. And it's also a movie that's not afraid to just switch tones and kind of keep things moving. I was struck last night. They're out on the boat. They've just like been attacked essentially by Jaws, and they're kind of fighting him off. And then he resurfaces, and they're chasing him with the barrels in his back. And all of a sudden, the John Williams score is no longer like dark and foreboding. It becomes this like bright. Like happy, like almost like adventurous music.
I remember that.
And everyone and all three of them have these like stupid grins on their faces because they're having fun because they're on an adventure at the same time that it's there's the deadly stuff, but it can coexist with this, you know, there's other stuff too. So it's a, obviously, I'm not, to, you know, breaking news, Jaws is awesome. But it was a lot of fun to watch it on the big screen.
Excellent. All right, Derek, how about you? What do you got?
Derek?
Oh, for crying out loud.
You did it again.
I've already checked out of this podcast.
Why are you that's my our, dad?
Why are you our celebrity fanfic name?
I'm saying, yeah, that's it. That's totally.
When we get married, Eric, we're going to be Derek in the Inquirer. So
that's right. That is my Entertainment Tonight fan name. For you
anyway,
sorry, Daryl.
So Daryl, this week also had a good horror experience, which, you know, I feel like happens more often than not, but. Others probably wouldn't agree, but no, I reviewed the 40th anniversary edition of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I mentioned last week, although I hadn't watched it yet. And after watching it and being indoctrinated, and it's really indoctrination, there are 4 commentaries, so 6 hours of commentaries, 2 feature-length documentaries, and about another 2 hours of interviews, deleted scenes, that sort of stuff. Anyway, the more I think about it, my 1 and 2 horror movies were always Suspiria and Chainsaw Massacre. And I think that Chainsaw Massacre is now maybe number 1.
Oh, breaking news.
That is breaking news. That's hard to admit. That's been a lot of years that I've put Suspiria up. But there's a couple of really, really stupid scenes in Suspiria. The dog eating the guy's head, that's an obvious hand puppet, and a couple other things. It's just really stupid looking. And there's nothing cheap about Chainsaw Massacre. It affects me the same way every time I watch it because it's great. It's just great. So, anyway. Chainsaw Massacre.
So, wow, so breaking so far, news. Breaking news is Daryl loves Chainsaw Massacre.
So right, two movies in the 70s.
Okay, well, I suppose I won't shock anyone to say that I've really started liking a video game where you get to run around Mordor decapitating orcs. So that is my breaking news. I've been a little video game hot break, I guess. Picked up 2 games for the Xbox One yesterday that I pre-ordered forever ago. Microsoft Store was essentially throwing these games and these pre-orders at you. They were running the sale. I'm not sure if I've regaled you about this, but they were taking in, like, any old game you had. I was trading in 360 games that you can get for $2 at the GameStop bin. They were giving you $10 towards a pre-order. So I ended up pre-ordering, like, 4 games and just putting down $10 each. So the first 2 of those have come in already, and that's Forza Horizon 2, which Eric is familiar with the Forza series more than I am, actually. Which is kind of an open world racing series. So you had played around with the first one on 360, right, Eric?
Yeah, the first Forza Horizon was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Just open world driving stuff. It was great.
I mean, it's like I'm not a racing guy. I don't think you're a racing guy either. But it's like more than that. I mean, it's just very like what I've been struck by with this game. Besides, it looks awesome and all that stuff with this hardware. But just like the feel and the atmosphere they create in these games. You know, it's just something of, like the music is really cool and the vistas are great. It just encourages you to kind of have fun driving this car around the countryside, you know? So, and it's a really kind of a go anywhere. So I don't know if there were invisible barriers on the first one, but the second one, it's like you can just drive and drive and drive and go over the fields and drive through the trees. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think the first one, there was some of that, but the map was so big, you really felt like you could go anywhere. You could just drive for like 10, 15 minutes, just going around and do whatever you want.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, so I haven't really scratched the surface on this because parallel to that, I picked up Shadow of Mordor, which is kind of this open world action game with a lot of Batman elements. It's made by Warner Brothers Games, so they've used a lot of those Batman elements, kind of from the games, you know, the attack, the parry, the dodge, that kind of. There's like the kind of the takedown / execution, but I've really fun just. Tooling around Mordor is this badass, and it's raining, and the orcs are, you know, screwing around. And we all know that we can kill orcs and not feel bad about it, right? So it's like we can just murder orcs because orcs are for murdering. And
they're basically they're the fantasy equivalent of Nazis in video games.
Pretty much, yes, they are. So no one feels bad about taking out these fantasy Nazis. So this game just really lets you go crazy with that, and Again, had not scratched the surface. It's an open world game, missions everywhere, but really a lot of fun. So so it's been and that in conjunction with the second season of Killer Instinct. So this is all actually a ploy to get Eric to buy an Xbox One, because I don't have any friends an Xbox One, so I need Eric to buy one. So that's why I've just been going through this. And I know, Daryl, you're
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Good, yeah. Hopefully we'll hit DEF CON 3 soon. But, Daryl, this is you haven't taken that plunge yet, right, into a next generation.
I have not. Yeah. I've been thinking about it, but I haven't yet.
All right, well, maybe it's for both of you. Then. This is for both of you, because David needs friends. That's what they do. So, but yeah, really fun, really, really cool stuff. Looks like it'll be a packed fall. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been consuming myself with these last few days. So that's it from the video game world. So let's talk more specific DVD verdict world. So anything you guys got coming out, Eric?
This week I'm reviewing Edge of Tomorrow, which I missed in the theaters, and actually still have half an hour left to watch. I'd be doing it right now if we weren't recording the podcast, but yes. Here we are. You know, the story is developing. You know, this review is developing, but so far I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of good things about it when it came out. I'm glad I got a chance to watch it now. I think it uses Tom Cruise in kind of an interesting way, kind of playing off of it's not literally playing off the idea of, like, the spoiled actor, but his character is kind of a coward at first and that kind of thing, which is kind of interesting. And I think the gimmick, which I think is a gimmick, but the basic kind of plot device, which I think everyone knows now, and which they apparently want to make very clear because I don't know if they've I have to do a little research. See if they've actually renamed it Live, Die, Repeat. Right. But that, I mean, that is, like, that takes up, you know, 60% of the
It's 90% of the words on the page, just size wise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Edge of Tomorrow is kind of reduced to like almost the subfolder of a URL at the bottom of the thing.
Yeah, it took me a couple of days when I was seeing ads for it for when that new ad or whatever came out.
Yeah.
Took a couple of days to realize it actually was Edge of Tomorrow and not some other movie with Tom Cruise that I'd never heard of and didn't care about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it gets more people to watch it, then that's fine. It's just
it's okay title. I mean, it's not special.
It's a little on the nose. I mean, you know, Edge of Tomorrow isn't really a spectacular title either, but at least it kind of leaves something to the imagination. So
the original, you know, the book it was based off of is called All You Need Is Kill.
Oh, that's right.
That's a fun title.
So I think the pendulum. I think the suits swung the pendulum a little too far the other way.
Yeah.
The random action title generator that isn't super random. You know.
Yeah.
But that looks like they're trying to split the difference with that. But yeah, the movie I liked a lot.
A hilarious title.
I'd be interesting to hear what you think, Eric, about the ending. I'd just be interested to see next week. I'll like to hear what you think about the final
stretch. We'll just like Daryl did his wrap up on Texas Chainsaw this week. I'm going to do this is a new thing.
Yeah.
It's called essentially it should be called We Haven't Finished Watching the Stuff We Have to Review Yet. But let's call it like you know the
tease for next
the big
week.
Tease.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Speaking of Daryl, what do you got?
All right, so I'm sort of in a similar position as Eric insofar as I have 30 minutes to watch on a movie that is quite a bit dumber than what Eric was reviewing, but in Cabin Fever Patient Zero. It's not very good, but it's not nearly as dumb as the movie I'm going to talk about, which is a let me get the year straight because I want to get this straight because it's – very close. All right. It's a 1969 movie that I have not turned the review in yet, and it is late, and I'm sorry, Michael. But it is for a 1969 film biopic of Che Guevara. Now, this biopic of Che Guevara is directed by Richard Fleischer and stars Omar Sharif as Che Guevara. And Jack Palance is Fidel Castro.
That's wonderful.
A cigar-chomping, amphetamine-popping Fidel Castro. It also features Robert Loggia and Woody Strode as Guillermo. I can't say words right tonight. But a Cuban. It's a very weird movie in that I think it was originally written as a left-wing film. And then I don't know what studio released it, but they didn't want to make more than half the population really, really angry. So they kept the idea but turned it into what is essentially a weird caricature of Fidel Castro. It's a really weird, really dumb movie.
Right.
Not worth watching. It's pretty funny. It's one of those kinds of abominations that people could do themselves a favor to watch.
All right. Appointment viewing.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around Jack Palance's Fidel Castro, but that's good.
Oh my God, he's great as Fidel Castro.
All right. Well, let's see. And speaking of, I don't know, we haven't spoken about TV series, but a couple TV series that I've got, I'm working through now. One is the From Dusk Till Dawn TV series. Are you familiar with this? Have you heard about this existence?
I knew it existed.
Yeah, I heard rumblings of it. And, you know, I like the first movie enough. I think I watched, like, one of the sequels before I tapped out of that. But, you know, whatever. First one, Grindhouse, fun, kind of launched George Clooney's career, whatever. So I was interested in, hey, what does this series look like? So I'm about, you know, it's probably about 13 episodes. I'm about five or six in. And right now it's like they're stretching out the first half of the film where it's like all dialogue and no vampire action into five 40-minute episodes.
That seems like it's really good. I get those viewers in there.
I'm confused. I mean, it's like, I mean,
where does it air? Or where did it air?
El Rey Network or something like that? I don't know.
The El Rey Network?
Del Rey. I have to take a look.
El Rey Network?
I think it was El Rey. Anyway.
Is that part owned by the Del Monte?
The guys who do the peaches and the pineapple stuff? Like those,
yeah.
Del Monte? Yeah, possibly. I mean, the mythology is different, I guess. You know, and there's like Wilder Valderrama, right? That guy from the 70s show, he plays a vampire in this. But it's very light on the vampire action. Very heavy. And the Gecko Brothers stuff. And they're just kind of going, there's the preacher in the Winnebago with his daughter and his adopted kid. And there's the holdup that goes wrong. So, like, a throwaway scene in the beginning of the first film, like the first two-minute opener, is stretched out the whole series, the whole pilot opener, you know? So
oh, God.
It's just like, I'm not sure what we're doing here. I mean, couldn't you just take the characters and they're just put him in some other totally different area and give us vampires, or I don't know, or show, I don't know. I'm not sure what you could have done.
I guess I don't really get the mythology in the first place of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, it really isn't a mythology. Like, that's overstating it. So
as far as like how do you stretch this? Like, there's vampires,
pretty much,
and jackasses.
That's right. I mean, the vampire. All it is
fight.
Yeah, these guys go to that bar and there's the vampire show. That's it. But
as a concept, that seems. I mean, that seems awful weak. Awful week for a TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just at the very least, give us kind of more vampire action, I suppose. But it's taken a while to get there. I just don't understand why you're rehashing and extending the arguably the boring stuff in the first movie. Like, who cares about the first hour?
And it's a fine movie. But it's pretty mediocre. I mean, it's nothing special.
Yeah, it's probably a legit cult movie, I would say. But again, it's not a cult because of the nuanced performances in the first hour of the film, which is
what was funny. I saw From Dusk Till Dawn in the theater and liked it up until the vampires showed up, and then I got pissed because it didn't make any sense. Now there's vampires. Now I'm just annoyed. I mean, I like vampires, but, you know.
Not that there's anything wrong with vampires.
All right. And then the other movie, the other one which might be even a little more disturbing, is the original complete series of My Little Pony. So My Little Pony is big around this household, you know. But this one, this My Little Pony, this is like, Eric, this reminded me of your experience with G.I. Joe, the original series,
yeah.
You know, and like others, like Jabberjaw I reviewed, like just how crazy these shows were that we may or may not have watched as kids. Like My Little Pony starts with a 10-episode arc. There's like a 10, you know, part 7, part 8. They're like, and then it launches into another 10-episode running arc. It's like, I don't know. And they're weird, and the animals are weird, and they're scary, and it's bizarre.
It's, I remember it being badly drawn, but that might be a false remark.
I don't know. That's probably, the art's probably the high point, which tells you the how low the low points are. So.
Yeah, I don't. I barely remember that from when I was a kid. I think my sisters had My Little Ponies.
Sure.
I'm going to pretend I didn't watch it, though who knows. I probably did.
Yeah. I did not watch it, but I remember seeing the ads or whatever for it or parts of it. I did watch a lot of embarrassing cartoons like the Snorks and Garfield. So
yeah, I'll tell you what doesn't make any sense if you watch it now. The Smurfs make zero sense. The Smurfs is incoherent. So
I like the Smurfs because it was a pretty much directly communist cartoon.
True.
Turned into a commodity on Saturday morning cartoons,
but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean it made sense. Like the shows literally did not make sense. Like the shows, I remember just sitting there saying, "This is just a series of animated non sequiturs." You know, nothing makes sense. All right.
But Brainy Smurf is doing something brainy, and that's annoying.
Right. And then Gargamel is looking to, you know, inflict genocide. Arrgh,
right. And why is Vanity Smurf always looking in that mirror? I hate him.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's. We're doing some good time, so you guys can give me some orc slaying time, which I appreciate. So let's just hit it with our ambush topics. Daryl, not Derek. Why don't you kick us off?
That's tough because I couldn't come up with anything interesting. So let's see. Give me 10 seconds.
Okay. 10 seconds. So we're going to ambush you with an ambush topic that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. He's ambushing
himself. Straight up. All right.
Come on. What do you see in your
board games?
Board games. Okay, good. That's a good one. Board games.
Well, this is a movie that is – I was going to call it one of the best movies ever based on a board game, but I guess there aren't that many. I thought Clue. Clue's a –
Yes.
It was based on a board game, and it's actually a pretty good movie from what I recall.
It's pretty good.
It was
the first movie I ever knew that had different endings for different markets.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it sort of randomized? Like it was just,
I think it was random. I don't think it was
just had markets.
They
just had three different, you know, prints or whatever. It just happened. Yeah, whatever you happened to get.
All right. Boy, I don't have much to work with here. So I'm going to – okay. Does this count as a board game? I was always – The little holograph game they played on the Millennium Falcon, right? What was that? You remember the one that Chewbacca
was like? Yeah, it's like there's like a
chess type of thing with it was like
multi-level. No, it wasn't multi-level chess.
that was
Star Trek. Was it? Yeah, there
maybe,
you go.
You know, maybe in the new editions, Eric, George Lucas added a level in that board game. You know,
I'm thinking of Star Trek, which just pissed off a bunch of people. But
that's true. No, definitely in the Millennium. Right, there was a little. They were using those little. It was like a mixture of. Yeah, it was like little stop motion guys.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know what it's called, but I'm sure if Mac were here, he would tell us. So, Mac.
I think Battle Chess is about as close as we're going to get.
Battle Chess, yes.
Well, although that also sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It does. Really boring one. So, okay, good. Daryl, go.
All right. So, insofar as I had to come up with an answer for this ambush topic that I had to ambush on, I'm going to go with the loosely based on the board game and god-awful Battleship.
Yes, sure.
When Rihanna is the best actor in your movie, then your movie has problems.
You know, I didn't think they had to do much to make it entertaining, right? But they managed to not make it entertaining at all.
Well, they managed to not make it entertaining and shoehorn something, an extremely stupid gimmick into it.
Right.
It didn't have to have anything to do with that.
Right.
It was just a movie. Without that, it's just a movie. That's cruddy, where Rihanna is the best actor, and that's terrible. But they shoehorn that into it, and they're actually calling out coordinates to find. It's just mind numbing.
Nice. Yeah, it's rough. So bad here, so bad. All right, I will go next. Again, I've got orc slaying on the mind, so flying heads. So the heads have to go flying.
Oh, well, Silent Night, Deadly Night has my favorite beheading in cinema history. I think it's possible I've talked about this before in some kind of Christmas-themed ambush topic. But these two punks bully this little kid out of his sled. It's Christmas Eve or whatever. And the one runs down the hill to giggle while the other one sleds down the hill because that's clearly what bullies do. As he's sledding down the hill, giggling away, Killer in the Santa outfit is standing behind a bush with his axe. And as he's running, or as he's sledding, Killer throws the axe, and his head goes flying off into the woods, and the giggling kid at the bottom of the hill turns into a screaming kid at the bottom of the hill. Nice. And it's hilarious.
All right.
Yes, that is indeed a comedy classic.
It sounds like
Silent Night,
like Deadly Night. Barrel of Monkeys.
Yeah. I'll go with a horror movie that I reviewed recently, Prom Night, from 1980. It's actually pretty reserved when it comes to the gore for most of the movie, and then there's a kill at just about the very end. It's prom, and there's this kind of bully guy who's beating up the prom king, and he's part of the prank because he's going to take his place, and so he has the crown on. He's waiting to go on, and the killer comes up with an axe and decapitates him. The guy's head goes flying out and rolling down the ramp where everyone's waiting for the queen to.
Right.
And I think it's a nice touch. The killer like chops through him, and then he hits like an electrical box behind him and gets like a little jolt of like
nice.
It's nice, a nice little touch.
Yeah, I appreciate the little details. You know.
Well, it was, I think, and in that movie, it's notable because the killer's not like a killing machine like a Michael Myers or something. He's
no, it's clearly not.
Okay, it's a little more human, a little more fallible.
All right.
It is such a boring movie. Every time I watch it, I've seen it a few times. It's so I forget how boring it is, how long stretches are.
Yeah, it's just barely a slasher movie. That's the thing.
Barely a slasher movie. It's very deliberate.
It's essentially a Canadian high school drama with the occasional murders. And that's
now, cool. It's not – I don't know if either of you ever saw the remake.
I did not.
The remake is one of the worst horror movies that I have ever seen in my entire life. It is literally a high school dance with four scenes in a hotel room, like 2 minutes long, of kills. And the rest of the time is teenagers dancing. It's amazing. It's amazingly bad.
All right. To be fair, you don't like any movie where people are being killed constantly.
I like plenty of movies where people aren't being killed constantly, just not horror movies. Well, that's not true either. Texas Chainsaw Massacre doesn't have anybody dying for like 45 minutes.
There you go. And we're full circle.
Full circle.
Excellent. I'm going to go with one of my favorite action movie bad guy death scenes. I don't think it's underrated because I think people do appreciate it, but it always got a great – and this was a movie I saw in the theater. It got a really good reaction. But in Speed, where Dennis Hopper's head meets that, like, subway light thing, I always thought that was pretty well done. And head goes flying there.
How does the effect look after all this time? Do you know?
You know what? Refreshingly practical. How's that?
Okay.
And I'll take it these days. But it looks decent. And it's aided by a pretty good, one-liner. Dennis Hopper yelling, I'm smarter, and then he flips him over, head goes flying off, and Keanu Reeves says, well, I'm taller. Yeah, not too bad. I got some pretty good laughs, and so that was always a pretty good scene. My runner-up would have been, of course, I thought, the lopped-off head in the stretch run of Indiana Jones: The Last Crusade, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, that one went the distance, so that was pretty good. So, all right. Eric, why don't you take us home?
All right. Skydiving.
All right. I have to see if this is on DVD, because if so, I need to revisit it. Wesley Snipes, another action movie. Wesley Snipes' 90s action movie called Drop Zone. Does this ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Limited reaction, I suppose it does not. So it does involve skydiving. In fact, I haven't seen it in a while, so that's why I would need to revisit it. But like Wesley Snipes is a skydiver here. So anyway, guys are skydiving, jumping off a plane. But it does bring... brings to mind, this is kind of a digression, so probably one of my all-time favorite and bad guy death scenes, where Snipes, our skydiving hero, is fighting the villain on top of a high building. He gets tossed off the building, off the skyscraper. He's plummeting. Before he splats on the ground, he gets hit by a truck. So
nice.
You know, nice. And it's like not too shabby. So that was always been at the top of my list. So yeah, Drop Zone. Check it out, kids. I'm going to try to see if I get that cheap now. So, all right. This is why we'll officially check out the podcast and
that. There you go. Daryl.
Well, I got a – oh, yeah, it's just me now. So I got a couple, and I hate them equal – in probably equal amounts. There's a lot of hate tonight on this podcast for me, so I apologize to people who like these movies. But, God, I also feel sorry for you. I'm first going to go with Operation Dumbo Drop.
Okay.
There goes half our audience. That's
yeah. Yeah, Dumbo Drop audience.
But yeah, you know, while it's apparently based on a true story, the idea of dropping an elephant into Vietnam is the dumbest thing I can imagine.
All right.
I'm not going to spoil the other one in case it's Eric's.
All right. Well, it better not be because this is a great movie. But I thought of this topic last week when I reviewed Muppets Most Wanted because I'd watched part of Great Muppet Caper around the same time. And that features several scenes of Muppets parachuting. Including the opening scene, so that was my answer.
That's good.
Right. Well, the other one is the fantastic scene in Point Break.
Of course.
Well, you don't like Point Break?
Oh, no, it's god-awful. What? Drives me crazy. That whole scene drives me crazy.
Well, see, it doesn't make any sense, but it's a great little scene, you know, for sure.
It's not my
kind of Keanu Reeves rolling around the ground, firing his gun in the air. Absolutely. Without that, we don't have that great scene in Hot Fuzz.
Now I have to completely rethink Operation Dumbo Drop. Apparently. Now that I know that you lump it in with Point Break.
Same movie to me.
Operation Dumbo Drop, same movie as Point Break. Fantastic. I think we're going to eclipse that. So let's. I think we will call that a podcast. So. Nice and breezy and quick. Very good. So this is it. FridayFilmBuzzer@DVDvert.com is our email. Send us an email if you'd like to complain about our take on Operation Dumbo Drop. We'd love to hear from you. So Eric and Derek and Daryl, all three of you guys, we appreciate it. You know what? I'm going to let Daryl take us out with a one-liner, possibly from Chainsaw Massacre, maybe from Point Break, but it's all on you. Go.
Yeah, Daryl Lewis original. Dave, go play some video games.